That's where we'll start out this morning. What a blessing to be here. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your faithfulness. We thank God for Liberty Baptist Church. Thank God for the reports we hear. Pastor Austin and I communicate all the time, and he's the one generally that initiates it, and I appreciate that so much. On Wednesdays, I'll get a email from him, and he'll just ask, how can we pray for you? And then over there in Cameroon, we go to the Wednesday evening meeting, and I'll come back probably 8 o'clock in the evening, and I'll answer that. Well, I got in trouble because we came back to the United States 8 o'clock in the evening. You guys had already long finished your prayer meeting, so I messed up getting changed around on the time zones here. But thank you so very much. We appreciate it. Don't ever lose what you have here. The generations pass by, and just don't ever lose what you have, a faithfulness to Christ and to His Word and staying with it and being faithful. It's a great encouragement. Thank you for referring to us as being faithful. The Lord has done that, but it's a great encouragement to us when we hear of churches back in America who are faithful. And we're so thankful for that. Yes, thank you for praying for Matt and Anna. Just a year ago or so, they were married, and now they got a little baby. And yesterday morning, we were just oohing on over that little guy, the most handsomest guy you ever did see in this world. We've got 9 grandchildren, and 4 of them are adopted. 5 of them are adopted, and this is our first grand baby boy, actually born naturally. But they're all our grandchildren. We praise the Lord for them so very much. God setteth the solitary in families, and He's doing a great work. And thank you also. I believe you've been praying for our daughter Sarah and her husband Glenn. A year ago, Glenn was just deathly ill. But he could have died. He had a nerve disruption in his spine, and I don't know. I look at things mechanically, but I just picture a bunch of wires going to an attic, and the mice chew up the insulation, and they're shorting out. That's kind of what happened in his spine, and it didn't have good results. He was crippled, but the Lord has largely healed him. He's probably 80%. He can do most everything that he could do before. He still walks a little bit of an unsteady gait sometimes, but praise the Lord for bringing him up, and we're praying for a full recovery for him. A little over a year ago, Glenn and Sarah were in the United States on a furlough, and we met over in Wisconsin. They took us out to eat, and we're sitting there around the table just having fun there, and I noticed their little daughter, their adopted daughter, our granddaughter Maria, she had a T-shirt that said "Only Child," and that was crossed out, and that said "Big Sister." And I just looked at that, had to think about that a while, and looked over at Sarah. She just started grinning. They announced to us she was expecting. The next morning, she had a miscarriage, right during the intensity of Glenn's ailment. That was hard. That was hard. A lot of tears. Right now, Sarah's expecting, and everything looks wonderful. And next February, Lord willing, God's going to bless their union after quite a number of years. They've been trusting the Lord to give them children. So God's opening up the womb there in a wonderful way. We are so thankful. Glenn and Sarah lived for some years out in a place called Akwaya. And you've heard us mention Akwaya many times. That's where really we really intensely poured ourselves into that ministry for a number of years. That was really the reason that we were flying airplanes initially and saw really thousands of people get saved out there and a number of churches planted, and the war just changed everything. Glenn and Sarah, they had to leave there. If you can just picture missionaries out in the middle of the jungle, that was them. They lived in a tent for months on end until they were so thankful they finally got the roof on the house, and they moved the tent underneath the roof. That was a big deal for them. And, you know, snakes crawling up the tent poles, and they could tell you so many stories. But then they had to leave that area. But they recently, a few months ago, moved into a outskirts of a city called Chang, D-S-C-H-A-N-G. And it reminds me, we didn't realize this when they first went there, but as they lived there, Glenn and Sarah lived there getting acquainted, it's very much like Acts 17:16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He goes door to door, and people say, you know, I don't need your God. I've got mine right there. See, there it is, that pile of stones, of grass and such, and sometimes it's trees. In fact, our daughter Elizabeth was witnessing to someone here a few months ago, and he says, "See that tree right there? That's my God." And so there, he just recently, a week or so ago, printed a gospel tract, primarily verses having to do with idolatry through the Bible, and using that to open doors to witness to these people. So we praise the Lord for what he's doing there. Just a couple other updates. I'll give some more later. But our daughters, Kathy and Elizabeth, they have homes full of children. It's interesting. I don't know if this is a direct application of this verse, but Psalm 113:9 says, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." So they have houses full of children. Kathy has 15 to 20 young people, all the way from about 3 years old all the way up to 20-something staying in her home. These people are, almost all of them are girls. There's two little boys. But they had to leave the English-speaking area because of the conflict there. Really had no place to go. Some of them were from bad backgrounds. A couple of them are orphans. And Kathy just took them in, and she's training them. And they're growing up in the joy of the Lord. The church meets, and they have the biggest living room of anybody. So that's where the church meets, their Victory Baptist Church, and making a huge difference in their lives. And Elizabeth has also opened up her home. She's had about five or six young girls, and now about that many more young girls. One's a deaf girl, another deaf girl moving in with her. And so she has the joy of running this household and teaching this deaf girl who's never been exposed to sign language before how to communicate. And she's a delightful little six-year-old girl. She just lights up whenever she sees us, runs up, gives us hugs, and she's learning. She's discovering her world through sign language. She's discovering the truth of Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful for what they're doing. A year ago, I just communicated with my friend Terry Rushing over there in Wisconsin. A year ago, he and I were communicating daily and several times a day, typically, on the plans for getting the airplane over to Cameroon. And wow, that was a time of just, how is God ever going to work this out? And he did, and the airplane arrived safely in September of last year. You folks had a major part in that. We're just so thankful for that. I often think of these verses and Psalms. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So those airplanes are working. I won't talk a whole lot about them today. We'll some, but I know you folks have really been an encouragement and a help to us in that aviation ministry. We are looking forward to continuing. We've been, ever since the airplane got there, reaching out to further and further out areas of the country, and we have a lot of flying to do, a lot of Bibles to distribute, a lot of people to win to Christ, and Lord willing, these are predominantly Muslim areas we're going into now. Souls coming to Christ. And by the way, Brother Jeremy is planning a trip to Cameroon in January. And so maybe we'll get a chance to fly him out to one or two of these areas. That'd be a blessing. I can translate for him. We'll see what God does with that. Speaking of aviation, at the end of this week, my associate Sam Sanderlin is out there. But the military announced last week that they're coming for a major inspection of our aviation program. I have no idea really what that's going to look like. They sent us a list of things they're looking for, so pray for Sam that he can handle that. We praise the Lord. Pastor Ernest was born into a polygamous family. In fact, essentially all of our pastors now, their parents were polygamists. And God has delivered them. He's rescued them out of that. Pastor Ernest had a polygamous family, a number of brothers and sisters, and it's interesting. It's like three or four different families within one home. It's hard to describe it. But he was thrilled. This is his full brother, a guy named Donatus, had the joy of leading him to Christ here a few months ago. And Pastor Ernest says he's coming along in the Lord. He's a lawyer. And in Cameroon, it's very difficult to be a lawyer and a Christian. And we need to pray for Donatus that he'll go on to become mature in Christ. Our Bible camp we've run for years and years and years. Camp Joy has been abandoned for the last 5 years because of this conflict. The people that live there near there, they're still maintaining it. It wouldn't take long for us to jump back in and use the same facility. Thankfully, it hasn't been destroyed during the conflict. But numerous camps have been held over the years. And this summer, two of them were held in Nigeria, in the refugee camps. I mentioned Akoya. And tens of thousands of people from Akwaya have fled and gone into Nigeria, including most all of the believers there. There's whole towns that are just abandoned. When this conflict is ended, people will go back home, but most of them will go back to nothing. The houses have fallen in, and they're just start all over again. The fields are all grown up, and many of the cocoa farms are destroyed and so on. So it would be very difficult for them. But Pastor Felix, it's like Jeremiah went with Johanan, into Egypt, you know, after the conflict of the overtaking of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and all that. So they went there, and Jeremiah went with them. Well, these refugees went to Nigeria, and Felix was a missionary in the area where they came from. He says, well, if that's where they are, I need to go there too. And he went there and settled there with his family and suffered a lot there. They really have a lot of difficulties there. But there's five churches that are actively meeting in the refugee camps. And they've got a Bible training institute going on, preparing men. So when this conflict is over, they can go back into Akwaya and pick up from where we left off, Lord willing. So thank the Lord for their faithfulness. And then here in the United States, many people have VBSs, Vacation Bible Schools. Over there, they call them Holiday Bible Schools. A number of them have been going on there in these past 2-3 months, and a number of kids have been coming to Christ. And we're just so thankful for a lot of good Cameroonian leadership in all of that. Also, there's a deaf camp held about a month ago, and deaf people come in. It's really interesting working with the deaf. They have their network, and texting has become a big, big deal for deaf people. And anyway, some of them would come and inform others, and they would come. And you never know at the beginning of the camp how many there'll be by the time you get to the end of the camp. But several of the deaf people there said, we really need a deaf school. And so our daughter Elizabeth, who signs quite well, Pastor Ernest and Pastor Orlando, I think those three in particular have gotten together, and they're organizing a deaf school. Lord willing, it'll begin here in these next few weeks. It's been said that the deaf, which is approximately 2% of the world's population, could be considered as the world's largest unreached people group. Very few people reaching out to them. In fact, often you find out if anybody's reaching out to them, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so what little teaching many of them are getting, it's obviously very false teaching. So we can be praying for that. I'd like to speak this morning, if I could, during this Sunday school hour, on prayer. In fact, we're going to be speaking this evening on prayer as well. I've been challenged many, many times, and so have you, many messages that you hear, books you pick up and read on the necessity to pray. Christians, pray. And so many of us would say, if we're honest, well, I don't really pray like I should. I don't really pray as much as I should. I struggle in this area. And I just want to share a few things that might be helpful. They've been helpful to me. Father, would you bless our time this hour together? Thank you for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you for the great salvation. We thank you for yourself, for your Son, for the Holy Spirit dwelling us. We thank you now. In Christ's name, amen. A lot of different people, churches, ministries have come up with different guidelines how to pray. And I think all of them are helpful. Someone has come up with a circle, looks like a pie, with about 10 or 12 different slices in the pie. And you can pray like 5 minutes for this and 10 for that and 5 for this other thing. And you go around through there. That's very helpful. I've used that before. I have a hard time memorizing it, though. And I don't really like to have papers in front of me when I'm praying. But anyway, that's very helpful. Others have, you know, booklets that you go through and lead you in prayer. Anything that helps you to pray biblically is good. But I'm just a simple farmer from Iowa. And I like simple things. And years ago, is this not on? I'm sorry. There, now it's on, right? Okay, thank you. Just a very simple formula that I often use when I pray. It's simply ACTS, Acts. You can think of the book of Acts, but ACTS is Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. I'd just like to kind of go through that with you this morning. Hope that'll be an encouragement. I've been encouraged by many people to pray. And that's just one of the areas this past year that I've really been seeking to obey the Lord more and more in that. The Holy Spirit will lead us and He will guide us in prayer as we seek His direction. The Holy Spirit, He is our helper, He is our comforter, He will lead us in prayer, He will bring to mind the things He wants us to pray for. In fact, oftentimes when I pick up my Bible to read it, I'll say, Lord, will You show me something that You want me to learn in the Bible, but at the same time, would You lead me to pray for someone? In fact, sometimes I read a verse and it has no connection to an individual that pops into my mind. But I'll just stop. I'll pray for that person. I have numerous people that I pray for regularly. But sometimes just God will bring someone to my mind. And I've asked Him. That's no surprise. When you ask Him to remind you to pray for people, He will bring that to you to pray for certain needs that there are. First, the letter in Acts is adoration, worship, praise. If you're there in 1 Chronicles 29, this is a passage that I very often recite as I begin to pray in the mornings. I love to go outside. It's kind of hard to do that in the middle of the winter in Michigan. I understand that. We don't have winters in Cameroon, so that's a nice benefit from being overseas in a tropical country. But 1 Chronicles chapter 29, it says in verse 11, or verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. And I'll just stop and I'll look up in the sky, Lord, You created that. This morning I took an early morning walk and I saw the stars. You know winter's coming because I saw Orion. You don't see him in the summertime. And he was up there, and not that he's a person, but named after one, I guess. But I'll look at the heavens and look at the earth and the grass and the trees and the animals, what God has created, and it just draws me to worship Him. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all. Just to acknowledge the greatness of the Lord and reigning over everything. In Thy hand is power and might, and in Thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. The Scriptures are full of passages that we can read and learn how to worship. You know, hymn book is so helpful. If you just really take the time that you should to worship the Lord, a hymn book is so, so helpful. I mean, we can just take the hymn book and look up a hymn, and one of my favorites is Glory, Glory to the Father, Glory, Glory to the Son, Glory, Glory to the Spirit, Glory to the Three in One. Sing it. I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. And it just lifts up my heart unto the Lord. And it does yours too. Hannah saw her prayer answered. And she worshiped the Lord. And in 1 Samuel 2, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in Thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside Thee, neither is there any rock like our God. David's prayers, I mean, the Psalms are full of them. He said in Psalm 138, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple. And praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. In the day when I cried, Thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. And you can just flip through the Word of God. You can bookmark certain pages, write them down. One thing I often do, there's a website that I really recommend. It's been very helpful to me. It's called wholesomewords.org. W-H-O-L-E. S-O-M-E, wholesomewords.org. And it's got a Bible doctrine section. I'll often go to that Bible doctrine section. I'll scroll down to where it says God, the doctrine of God. And it just starts listing all the attributes of God. And I'll start thinking through that. I mean, the omniscience of God. God knows everything. God all wise. And I'll think about His wisdom and how He's created this earth and everything, the heavens and all of that. His omnipotence. He is so all-powerful. His omnipresence. He is present everywhere. And He's particularly present in my heart and in your heart in the person of His Holy Spirit. His eternality. He has always existed. God is eternal. He is holy. He is righteous. He is faithful. He is gracious. He's full of mercy and loving kindness. God is love. And these attributes, as they're called, they can just lift up our heart to worship Him. And there's passages in the New Testament you can read in Ephesians 1 and elsewhere, and just lift up our hearts and give praise to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Psalm 147:1. So that's adoration. And the next one is confession. The confession of our sins, agreeing with God about how far short we fall of His glory. And the Scriptures, turn with me to Psalm 51, if you would. The Scriptures are full of men of God who confessed their sins. David's sin was very obvious. It was very wicked, and his restoration was very full. Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." We may not have sinned in the same manner that David did, but we have sinned. And we can go along with this. It'll remind us of what we need to confess before our Lord. He says, verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." You know, our little sins aren't really so little. We think they are, but they're evil in God's sight. And the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to wash us from all of those sins. "That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." And you can read on, but it's a guide for us to read and turn to the Lord. One of my favorite men in the Bible is Nehemiah. If you turn there with me to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah is one of those fellas, one of those few people in the Bible that as far as I know, there's no sin recorded against them. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And Nehemiah heard word that Jerusalem was in shambles and someone needed to go and rebuild those walls. And he went to prayer. I mean, he went to serious prayer. He was broken up about it. You can see how serious he was here in Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse number 4. It says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." He was very serious about this. He was broken up. He was broken. He was weeping. He was mourning. He was fasting. He was praying. "And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which they have sinned." No, it doesn't say which they have sinned, which we have sinned. He included himself in that. "Both I and my father's house have sinned." And he lays it out before the Lord. Go to Daniel chapter 9. What a great man of God Daniel was. And Daniel chapter 9, he was reading the prophecies of Jeremiah and realized that very soon the 70 years of captivity is going to be up. And he just went to praying. And as he prayed, this is what he said beginning in verse number 3. I'm just summarizing this, just picking out a few verses out of many. But he says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession." There's no sin that I'm aware of recorded against Daniel in the Bible, but he was making confession for the sin which he himself had sinned. And he said, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled," and included himself in that, "even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophets." We have not been listening to the Word of God. We have not been obeying the Word of God. "These prophets which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I often recite these verses as I'm seeking the Lord and seeking to confess my sins before Him, to be right before Him. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You can go to the New Testament, you go to read the sins in Romans chapter 1, last part of Romans chapter 1. Terrible wicked sins, but Daniel included himself in the terrible wicked sins that his nation had committed. You can go to, let's go to Galatians chapter 5 for a moment. If you would with me, please. Galatians chapter 5 is talking about the works of the flesh. These are warnings to Christians to, as it says earlier there, let me get my place here in Galatians chapter 5. Talking about the works of the flesh, excuse me, verse number 19. Let's look at that. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." That's a sin I committed today if I didn't commit one of those other ones. We can use the Word of God to direct us in confession. As you read through these, you realize, wow, I didn't murder anybody, but you know, I did speak an unkind word to someone I don't really have much love for in my heart. Jesus said that's the same as if I killed him. If you got your hymn book with you, you can sing. I'm talking about the moment, but when you're praying, you know, there's that wonderful psalm that's taken from Psalm 139 there. "Search me, O God." Sing it with me. "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free." David prayed and sang, and you know, we can do the same thing. And it just sparks a revival in us. We can walk in revival, which is life again, which is the restoration to what the Bible describes as a normal Christian life, anytime we want to be. We can be revived at any moment. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if that's the case, if we that hymn we just sang, which came from Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, know my heart," and we get it right with Him, then we go on to the second verse. "I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify Thy name." What a glory to walk in newness of life. In the next hour, we're going to talk about newness of life. Romans 6:4, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Oh, that's what God wants for us. We can be as right with God at any moment as we were the moment we got saved. AC, adoration, confession, and T, thanksgiving. Wow, is there a lot to thank the Lord for? Remember His answers to prayer. Just think about that. Just meditate that when you're in prayer with the Lord. Just think about some of the great answers to prayer. Maybe, you know, sometimes I can't think of something He answered yesterday, but if you think about it, you will come up with something. But think of those great things that God has done, intervening and answering prayer. Remember the times He delivered us and thank Him for it. Thank the Lord for saving my soul. Thank the Lord for the air I breathe, the food I eat, the life I live, the family I have. Thank you, Lord, in advance for the prayers that I've not yet seen the answers for, because I believe You're going to answer them. George Mueller said, if the Lord fails me at this time, it will be the first time. Just think about that. He went through a lot of crises in his ministry, feeding all those thousands of orphans. We've been through some trials in Cameroon. You know, He has yet to fail us. But I keep thinking He's going to. I'm thinking of this military inspection of the airplanes this week. That's going to be it. Won't be able to fly again after that. You know, that's my nature. God hasn't failed us yet. Why would He fail us now? Oftentimes, I wake up on Thursday mornings and realize just a few hours ago, churches across America were faithfully praying for us. And not just on Thursday mornings, but that's a particular time. Thank you so much. Those of you who get our prayer letters, you might remember a little poem that's up on the top of we put up all the time. Away in foreign lands, I wondered how their single word had power. At home, the Christians, two or three, had met to pray an hour. So thankful. Just a few verses in the New Testament having to do with thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 9:11, being rich in everything to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made unto God. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4:3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And the next verse, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And Revelation 7:12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And many, many verses. You can take out your phone and just tell us a search for thanksgiving in the Bible. Old Testament full of passages about thanksgiving, and it can encourage you to pray to the Lord. So what's the first one? What's the A? Adoration. The second one, C, confession. T, and S is supplication. Philippians 4:6-7. I just read one of those verses. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. King Solomon, he was praying for God's blessing to rest upon the nation of Israel and the worship centered there in the new temple that they had just completed. That thine eyes, 1 Kings 8:52, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call unto thee. Psalm 55:1, give ear to my prayer, O God. Lord, please give ear. The other passages that talk about the Lord inclining His ear. I love to think about Lord just inclining His ear. He wants to hear. Lord, give ear to my prayer and hide not thyself from my supplication. You sense an urgency, almost a desperation in this psalmist's desire for God to hear. Supplication, and the word of supplication is supply. The idea of asking for God's supply, and it certainly is that. But as I went through pretty much all the verses in the Bible that use that word supplication, I got the sense, I had not really seen that before, it jumped out to me just a day or two ago, that supplication seems to be more than just asking God to supply our needs or to answer our prayer requests. In many cases, it seems to be an intense or a desperate demand to God to meet our needs. It's not crying and screaming and jumping up and down and piercing ourselves as the prophets of Baal did on Mount Carmel. That's not what we're talking about. But an intense godly trust and desire for the gifts of God. The Father gives us gifts. He loves to do so. He answers our prayers. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Some years ago, we had the privilege, our children put this together for us, this trip to Israel we took back in 2019. And we got to go to the very cave that David was hiding in when Saul was chasing after him. The cave where Saul came in and David cut off the hem of his robe there. I'll never forget that. He was in the cave. It says in Psalm 142:1, a prayer, Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. He was in big trouble. He was in great danger. There was an urgency. But, you know, he couldn't shout out and pray loudly or Saul would have heard him or his spies would have heard him. I mean, he was desperate. But he was crying out to God for God to answer his prayers. Another example, Jeremiah 37:20. And Jeremiah had been imprisoned in Jonathan's house. And we saw this also in the house of Caiaphas. These priests had dungeons. They had torture dungeons in their basements. They were wicked people. And Jeremiah was in one many years prior to Caiaphas, but says in Jeremiah 37:20, therefore hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord, the King, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Now he's not praying to God here, he's making an appeal to the King, but he's making a supplication. If I go back there, I'm going to die. They're starving me to death, they're torturing me. And it was a desperate cry, a desperate appeal to King Zedekiah there. Daniel 6:11. Everybody's trying to feed him to the lions. And he just keeps on praying. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I'm sure he was praying for deliverance from the lions, but I'm sure he was also praying for great deliverance for the people of Israel and for the people in Babylon to see the mighty hand of the Lord. And they saw it. God greatly answered his prayers. In Hosea, it describes the time that Jacob was wrestling with the angel. Hosea 12:4 says, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Jacob was wrestling with the Lord all night long, and he would not let him go until he was blessed. He was intensely asking God. Sometimes I just kind of say, well, Lord, I need this, 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 and this. Oh, yeah, and that one too. But there's times we need to just really cry out, as Hannah did when she was so burdened to have a baby. And God answered. In Acts chapter 1, 120 or so people were gathered together, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit, as had been promised at the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They had a 10-day prayer meeting, asking the Lord to bring about His promise. And they soon saw great and mighty things and the salvation of many souls there in Jerusalem. In Acts 6:18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Folks, you've been praying for us. We need to be praying for you. We're to ask the Lord's supplication for all saints. How important that is. We've seen God do mighty things. A month ago, we saw the Lord deliver Pastor Julius from the hands of the kidnappers. I know you folks prayed. People across America prayed. I've never had such a great response to a prayer letter. It was just a 2 or 3 paragraph cry unto the Lord for supplication. People all over America and other countries wrote back to us, we are praying. And then Praise the Lord, a day later I got to write that he was released, and people wrote back again, "We are rejoicing." Wow. After he was released, we asked the Lord to deal with the kidnappers. And this is kind of sober. Just yesterday I heard that, well, there's four kidnappers that took Pastor Julius. And there may have been other ones involved, but he only saw four. But quite recently, three were killed in a gunfight with another group that was out there. Four were arrested. In fact, I think a fifth was just arrested. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. We weren't praying for those people to be killed. We're just praying that they would not be able to kidnap other people. Well, they can't. They're in prison. They're dead. Wow. As I mentioned earlier, we saw the Lord deliver our son-in-law from a terrible nerve disease. We saw the Lord cause our daughter Sarah to be able to have a child after 9 years of marriage. We saw the Lord get the airplane to Cameroon. We saw the Lord open closed doors and turn them into open doors to establish radio stations in Cameroon. Brother, I haven't even told you the latest about the open doors that God has given us for radio stations. It's been a long, slow process, but I feel like we're right on the edge of really seeing God open up those gospel radio stations. We saw the Lord open up the permission to fly when we were shut down for a number of months at the end of last year. We saw the Lord provide the new airplane for us to use and the fuel to fly it and the funds to pay the fees and all of these things. God has been so good. We saw the Lord open the doors and provide for the hangar construction. We've seen the Lord provide for a radio house. We saw the Lord start churches and save souls and deliver the sick. And several people were terribly wounded this past year through being shot. And God brought them through. A guy by the name of, Sylvester was one, and Clarkson was another one in particular. And we're still praying prayers of supplication for many other things as we continue dependently upon the Lord for His supply. And you are too. There's things you're praying for. God didn't say pray A-C-T-C-S, just like that. If you got a way that you pray and it works well for you, God bless you. Just stay with it. It's just something that really helps me as a reminder, and I'm glad I could share that with you. So look forward to being with you in the next hour, Pastor.